This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by The Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad to have you along. Are the beliefs, sacraments, and practices of the Catholic Church biblical? That is our focus in this week's cover article. Along with his co-host, Mike Gendron, here's T.A. McMahon.
Mike, welcome back.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be back.
Mike, proclaiming the gospel, that's your ministry. I know it's an exciting ministry. What I'd like you to do is give us some information about it. Maybe people would like to contact your ministry directly, and maybe in your telling us about it, you could tell us how they could do that.
Well, sure. If I could just begin with the genesis of the ministry. After a successful 17-year corporate sales career, when I heard the gospel, it literally turned my life upside down, and I recognized there was more important things in this life than making money. So I enrolled at Dallas Theological Seminary to study the Bible. In my last semester, I was given the tape, Catholicism, Crisis of Faith, that Jim McCarthy has produced.
This is a videotape.
Right. And my wife and I looked at it, and we were so convinced that we needed to share this with every Roman Catholic we knew. So we began inviting Catholics over to our home every Tuesday night to show them the video and have a little dessert and discussion. And within 3 months, we saw 17 Roman Catholics renounce their religion and put their trust in Jesus Christ as their all-sufficient Savior. And so what to do with new babes in Christ? We began inviting them back on Wednesday night to help them grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. And that was really the birth of our ministry. Mm-hmm. The people that came, the new converts, were asking us if we could write some of these things down so that they could share with their family and friends. And that was the birth of our newsletter. It is a bi-monthly newsletter that now goes out to over 8,000 subscribers in 40 different countries, and God has really blessed that. We minister to people in several different ways. Probably our primary function is to go into churches and equip the saints through seminars and conferences to reach out to what we consider the world's largest and most neglected mission field, mm-hmm. and that would be the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah. Mike, now there may be some pastors listening. What would your seminar be like, or a conference that you would do at an individual church?
Well, I really customize it to the pastor's particular needs and his time constraints. Uh-huh. I have about 20 hours of PowerPoint presentations, all relating to the gospel of Jesus Christ and Roman Catholicism. So depending on how many hours the pastor would like for us to come in and train his assembly of believers, we customize it according to his needs.
Mm-hmm. Mike, do you have lots of doors open to you, or do you find that more and more people don't seem to be interested?
Well, not only people are not interested, but also many pastors now don't want to touch the issue. It's a very controversial issue, what to do with Roman Catholicism, because we've got some highly visible evangelicals that say Catholics don't need to be evangelized. And so because it is a controversial subject, the churches that open their doors to us are very few and far in between. But the ones that God opens the doors to, we have found great blessings to go in and equip the saints.
The sad part of this growing trend of recognizing, or at least believing, that you're going to be offensive to Roman Catholics, and after all, they're Orthodox, they have some of the basics of the faith, and so on. The sad thing about that is it's a mission field. We've talked about this before. We have 1 billion more than 1 billion Roman Catholics worldwide. We have, how many in this country, Mike?
64 million. One out of four Americans are Roman Catholics.
So if you're looking for a mission field, you don't have to go to South America. You don't have to go to the Philippines. You can probably go to your neighbor in your workplace. If it's one out of four, there are many around who don't have the gospel of salvation, the biblical gospel of salvation. And that which we've been freely given, we're to freely give, right, Mike?
Well, that's right. And that's the mission of our ministry, is to equip the saints with the resources that will help them reach their Catholic loved ones. And the way we do that is through gospel tracts and publications, through our website, which has just surpassed 1 million hits now. We have a very active bulletin board where Catholics can come out and ask questions and we answer them with the power and confidence of God's Word. That website is www.pro-gospel.org.
So that's a hyphen, not an underscore.
That's right, pro-gospel.org. And there will you'll see the archives of all of our newsletters dating back to 1991.
Mm-hmm.
We also have resources. All of my presentations with PowerPoint are done on videotape, which are excellent for home Bible studies. People can invite Catholics over and share the truth of God's Word with them through video and then pause and stop the tape and have discussions at each different doctrine that's discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned my book, Preparing Catholics for Eternity. It's really been an excellent discipleship tool for a believer to sit down with a Roman Catholic and just go through all the critical issues, beginning with what is the most trustworthy authority for faith, for truth.
So what we'd like to do is encourage our listeners, Roman Catholics, certainly, if they have questions, evangelicals, if they have a heart for witnessing, sharing the gospel with Roman Catholics. Get a hold of Mike. Check out his website. We also have a website which we all participate in. It's called reachingcatholics.org. And on that we have lots of articles, some done by you, Mike, by me, by many who write about the issues of Roman Catholicism versus the Bible. And we just encourage you. There's lots of information, lots of resources out there, and we just encourage you to get after it. Right, Mike?
That's right. We want to equip the saints to reach out to as many Roman Catholics as they can, because we don't want to see them perish. We know they're on the broad road to destruction, and only those that are on the narrow road can point them to the gate that leads to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we address these issues, Mike and I are both former Roman Catholics. Mike said he has a ministry. I'm involved in ministry. But our heart here is to go to God's Word. We're not the end-all be-all by far. We preach what we've learned from the Scriptures, and that's what we want everyone to do, not just to go on the basis of what we say, but you go on the basis of God's Word. That's why we call this program According to God's Word. If they don't speak, whether it be an institution, an organization, an individual, if they or he does not speak according to God's Word, the Scripture says there is no light in them. And we want them to have the light of truth, the light of what God's Word teaches. So, Mike, we're in Galatians. I remind our listeners, we're in the third chapter of Galatians, and we're going to pick up with verse 22, chapter 3, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Some critical points in this verse. Mike, the Scripture has concluded all are under sin. Is there anyone without sin?
No, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's what the law does. It exposes every man's sinful life. It's like looking into a mirror. And when the person looks into the mirror, he sees his dirty face. And the only way that that dirty face, that dirty soul can be cleansed is through the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm. And God has not only given the law, most people know about the Ten Commandments, for example, which was for the Jews, but there were moral aspects of the Ten Commandments that were written on our hearts. So everyone should know, if they're honest, that they are in sin, that they have fallen short of the glory of God, that they have done things in their lives, and it only takes one which separates them, which brings division between them and God. And that's a problem. What do you do with it?
Well, that's true, Tom, and it's important here, I think, for our Roman Catholic listeners is to know that all sin is mortal. All sin separates us from God, and all sin brings eternal punishment. The Catholic Church would teach you otherwise, that there is a category of sin called venial that doesn't warrant eternal punishment, but only temporal punishment in purgatory. Well, this isn't according to God's Word. It is one of man's traditions that are in direct conflict with God's Word. Because the wages of sin is death, the soul that sins will surely die.
Mike, I'd like to give the example for those who try to make a distinction between venial and mortal sin. First of all, it's pretty arbitrary. When I remember going to confession, there would be some sins that I'd committed that I figured, well, if I couch it this way, if I kind of lay it out that way, yeah, the priest is going to think, well, it's just kind of a venial sin, and it'll be light on my penance and so on. Did you ever do that, Mike?
Well, sure. In fact, we always knew the gravity of our sin when we'd go up to the altar rail and we'd ask our buddy, how many Hail Marys and Our Fathers did you get?
Yeah.
And we would judge our gravity of sin according to how many prayers we had to say.
Yeah. But if we look at the first sin, and this is the example I'm thinking of, if we look at the first sin, which had to do with God saying that, this is in Genesis, the commandment is laid out in Genesis 2, I think it's around verse 16 and 17, God is telling Adam that he's not to eat of one tree, the fruit of one tree in the garden. And there must have been thousands of trees and all kinds of fruit, but there was one he was not to partake of. And I think the reason for that was not because God was protecting a particular tree or fruit. It was had to do with obedience. Would Adam obey? And then, of course, Eve as well. And they didn't. All they did was Eve took this fruit and she ate. And Adam, the scripture says, Adam did likewise. Now, Mike, if you went to confession and you said, well, I was, my mom had baked some cookies and she told me not to take any before dinner, but, you know, I just kind of snitched one and I ate it. Would the priest say, oh, it's a mortal sin. You are condemned to hell.
Not at all.
Not at all. So, yet, what about the sin of Eve, this disobedience to God, just taking a piece of fruit, whatever it might have been?
Well, Tom, I think it really shows the verse that you just read, the importance of it. The instrument that sent man into condemnation was faith. He shifted his faith from that of God to believing Satan.
Right.
And so the only way for man to be saved from condemnation, to be justified, is to shift his faith back to God and his word and his only provision for our sins. And that's what verse 22 tells us, that it's a promise by faith in Jesus Christ to all those who believe. So we've got to shift our faith from false teachers, from false gospels, from believing we can save ourselves, to put our trust in God and his word and his only provision, the Lord
right.
Jesus Christ.
And going back to that penalty for sin, in verse 17, it says, the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. Again, death. You want to talk about mortal sin, eating of that fruit is a mortal sin, separated man from God forever. And the penalty had to be paid. Well,
and one of the consequences of that sin is physical death, but we also see in the Bible it talks of a second death, and that's the eternal lake of fire, where people will be tormented night and day for all eternity because they rejected God's only provision for their sin.
That's right. And how do we receive that salvation? If we're all under the penalty, if we're all under condemnation, and all have sinned, again, and fall short of the, as we mentioned before, and fall short of the glory of God, if all have sinned, how do we remove that sin? How are we reconciled? If we're separated from God forever, how then can we be reconciled to God?
It's only by grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing his death and resurrection were sufficient to forgive us of our sins and reconcile us to God, give us the right standing before him.
Mm-hmm. I just repeat verse 22 again. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Everyone in their heart knows that he or she is a sinner. And going on with the verse, that the promise by faith, again, not by going to Mass, not by the sacraments, not by anything, not by rules and regulations, whether it be the Jewish laws or whether it be the code of canon law, not by those things, but the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Mike address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Mike, normally I go to my questions, but you have an interesting question, and how did it come about?
Well, this morning I was witnessing to a Roman Catholic in the neighborhood, and I asked him the all-important question, what must I do to be saved? And I asked him to personalize that. And he said, well, I have to believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I said, well, that's the correct answer, but as a Roman Catholic, do you still believe in purgatory? And he said, well, sure. Purgatory is where we go to have our sins purged away. I said, well, I thought you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, well, I do. I said, well, what do you believe about Jesus? And so he went on to say that he believed that Jesus died for his sins, but that he wasn't able to purify all of his sins, and that's why they have a place called purgatory. And so as I continued to talk with him, he pretty much told me that Jesus wasn't able, he wasn't sufficient to take away all of his sins, that there were some venial sins that still needed to be paid for in purgatory. And so the question that we often hear from both evangelicals and Catholics is, why do Catholics need to be evangelized if they already believe in Jesus? And if I hadn't pursued this by probing and asking other questions, the initial response by this Roman Catholic would have seemed to be appropriate in the sense that he might be a born-again Christian. But you see, Tom, as you know, the Jesus of the Catholic Church is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Catholic Jesus is unable to save Catholics completely. He's unable to save them forever because they believe that if they die in a state of mortal sin, they will perish for all eternity. And as we just pointed out, the Jesus of the Catholic Church is unable to purify all sin. So when we ask Catholics how they hope to get to heaven and they respond by trusting Jesus, we have to make sure they're believing the Jesus of the Bible, don't we?
Absolutely. One of the things that we've been doing, the main thing we've been doing in this radio program as of late, we've been going through the book of Galatians. And here was the Apostle Paul addressing his spiritual children, those whom he had led to the Lord, who lived in the area of Galatia, which is just, well, it's be modern Turkey today. They received what he had to say. But then there were others who came in, called the Judaizers, the circumcisers, and they introduced something else that these people had to do in order to have eternal life, in order to gain salvation. Now, Paul's response was, wait a minute. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? I mean, they had already received eternal life in Christ. Now there was something else they had to do. In effect, the Judaizers were saying, look, Christ's work, what Christ did, was not sufficient. You now have to do something else, which is what Roman Catholic theology teaches. Isn't that right, Mike?
Well, that's true, and I just would encourage our listeners that when they do engage any lost person, any professing Christian in spiritual conversations, and when they say they believe in Jesus, that we need to ask them, well, what did Jesus save you from, and how did he do it, and is he sufficient, or do you need to do something? Do you need to add to his finished work? Do you need to merit the graces that he freely gives? These are all appropriate questions that we need to ask people to make sure they have a clear understanding of the gospel.
And Mike, this is not just hair splitting with regard to doctrines. This is a matter, if you're going to place your trust, put your faith in Jesus, who is he? What did he do? Why are you trusting him? For what are you trusting him? And it has to be when you search out the scriptures with regard to who he is and what he's done, you find out very quickly that only he could do what needed to be done that you might go to heaven, that you might have eternal life. Because he had to pay the penalty. What was the penalty? The penalty was separation from God forever. And God's justice. See, God is a God of justice as well as a God of love. His justice, perfect justice, had to be satisfied. The wages of sin is death. The penalty has to be paid. And Christ paid that penalty. So there we have God's justice being satisfied, but also God's love is demonstrated. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And he could pay the penalty that needed to be paid, and he did it. Mike, isn't it stunning, awesome, overwhelming that God, God himself, the creator of the universe, would become a man and pay the penalty for our sins.
Yeah, well, it is. It's the reason why my favorite song is, "How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" What an awesome thought to understand a perfect Lamb of God would die for a wicked sinner like me, and then he would save me merely by grace, a demonstration of his love. And oftentimes I'm asked, well, what's wrong with believing in Jesus and doing good works in order to be saved? Well, quite simply, it's because God only saves by grace. That's his only means of salvation. And when you mix grace with works, then it's no longer grace.
Mm-hmm.
The only boasting in heaven, Tom, will be boasting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God allowed works to be part of salvation, then men would be in heaven boasting about what they did to attain eternal life.
Yeah. Not only is it prideful and all of that, Mike, it's irrational. It's illogical. What good work can you do? You see, if you are spotted, tainted with one sin, and we talked about this earlier, the sin of taking a piece of fruit would certainly brought condemnation on the entire world. But personally, every sin demands the full penalty, separation from God forever. So there's no work that can reconcile that. There's nothing you can do. Once you've sinned, you are under condemnation and you have to pay the penalty. Or you have to turn to Christ.
That's right. That's what the psalmist says in 49:7-8, that no one can redeem the life of another because the cost is too high. You might as well give up trying. What is the cost to redeem one soul? It's the precious blood of Jesus, which becomes the most valuable commodity the world has ever known. Because all the money in the world could not buy one soul out of purgatory or out of hell, only the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Hebrews tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And it's not our blood, it's the blood of Christ alone.
The same writer tells us by one offering, he has made perfect forever those who are sanctified. The one offering of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago has made those who believe in him perfect before God for all eternity.
Mm-hmm. So these things are very important. The salvation, as we mentioned last week, Mike, you said a young child. It's so simple a young child can receive eternal life. It's a gift. There's nothing you can do for it. It's not a work. It's by grace. You receive what Christ has done for you by faith and by faith alone. Nothing you can do. So God has provided all of this for us, if we're willing to turn to him. Repentance in the scripture is not penance. Repentance is simply turning from our way, what we think, to God's way. He's the creator. It's his game plan. I hate to put it in those terms, but it's really true. He has provided salvation his way. We have to do it his way, not the way an organization teaches necessarily, unless the organization does it his way absolutely. Unless we do it God's way, we have no possibility of eternal life, of being together with him forever.
Well put, Tom. Man's way leads to death. Proverbs 14:12 says there's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end, it leads to death. We've got to turn from man's way to God's way.
If you have questions for Tom and his guests to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708, or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number A0722, and please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you can tune in again next week for According to God's Word.